Cork Opera House, and John O'Brien are presenting Morrigan, which is music by John O'Brien, libretto by Éadan O'Donoghue, and it's the biggest production this summer on stage in Cork. It's a new Irish opera created by John O'Brien and Éadan O'Donoghue, and produced by them, and Cork Opera House sponsored, or supported rather, by the Arts Council Opera Project and Production Grant, and in association with the Everyman Theatre. Now, I have John O'Brien, who is conductor, director, composer, he's probably doing the lights, with me in Cork, and the great Magella Culler as well. Good morning to you both. Good morning. There you are. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Great to talk to you.
How are you now downstairs? Magella, you've put on a Cork accent.
Have I?
You're only there an hour.
Well, I'm so proud of it, Marty, as you can imagine.
Like a flash. Good morning to you both. And firstly, the two of you should really be in your beds. I mean, let's face it.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we had the dress rehearsal last night, so we're a bit wrecked, all right, but we dragged ourselves out to talk to you.
I'm honoured that you did, and thank you. So look, firstly, it's brand new. The dress rehearsal is done and dusted. Are you nervous, John, with a dress rehearsal for something as new as this? You must be slightly up the wall. But I don't mean today, please God, but yesterday you must have been, were you?
Yes, and still today, because sharing this, myself and Éadan, it's kind of 3.5 years of from writing and planning, and you know, so there's a lot of kind of and now to share it with an audience, and
yes,
you know,
yeah.
Like. Hope people like it, you know?
Well, that's the fellas in the slight danger.
Yeah.
After all your hard work. Yeah. But also the coming together, the getting everything together between the cast and crew and everything. Whatever about writing it with Éadan, but the process of staging, when did you begin that?
Well, rehearsals started at the 27th of June, so we've had kind of 4.5-5 weeks. In advance of that, yeah. Putting together the team, you know, the design team, Alison and Sinead and Stephen, casting, and you know, like there's 45 performers on the stage, and there's 24 in the pit with
crikey,
yeah, with Conor Palliser conducting, and you know, so there's a whole like putting it all together took a while, and then it was Rory in the Opera House who's kind of the lead producer on it, and yeah, so a lot of planning and pulling it together, and then trying to do all that coming out of COVID and with all of those things and all the extra challenges of all of that, but we're here and we have, I think, something really beautiful and cool to share with people.
Oh, that's lovely.
You know, last night at the there was a couple of people invited in for the, you know, for the dress rehearsal, and the response was really powerful, and you know,
well, you see, it's like it reminds me slightly of when you go to a Wexford Festival Opera and you haven't a clue what you're going to see, and you're excited because you're at an opera and you're all dressed up or whatever, but also you've no idea what it's going to be, and you've no idea what it's going to be like, so everybody's on the same level, do you know? No one could be going around saying, oh, I'm an expert, look at me, aren't I great? Everybody's at the same level, which I love. Magella, how are you feeling about it after last night?
I am a little bit dazed but happy.
Brilliant.
Because it is one of the biggest things I've ever been involved
are
in.
Are you serious?
In Ireland. Yeah, it's a humongous production,
right?
I mean, it feels like a cast of thousands in it.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting, but oh my God, Marty, the music. I mean, I don't want to make John blush here in front of me.
But
the music is just so powerful and moving and exciting. And I mean, this is. I was talking to somebody saying. I suppose you don't expect such strong melodies.
Yes.
From contemporary operas, sometimes it can be a bit too clever for its own good. But
sure.
I think John said that he said to me, if I'm not giving you any secrets, that he left his ego behind, he left his intellectualism behind,
good.
And he just wrote from his heart and his soul. And
but that's
my God.
The very finest writing,
and
is where that comes from.
So then it goes right into your heart and soul when you're listening to it.
Well, in fairness, listen to you being as effusive as you are, when I think about the fact that recently you were involved with Donizetti and the Barbers of Vail and whatever, this is obviously very impressed, certainly has impressed you in terms of how it's been put together.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, John is, you know, is a master at this stage of writing. No, but it is.
He's definitely blushing now.
You know, he's on a par with the best, in my humble opinion, because I have to sing the bloody stuff.
That's true.
So I should know.
Yes.
it.
And it is. It's beautifully written for every single. It's such characterful writing, so that it's not just wonderful to sing it, but sure. There's meat there, so you can really put your all the feelings of that character and put your own stamp on it. The situation. There's room for all of that in the writing.
Now we're not in a position to play any of it this morning because John didn't give us any, quite frankly.
But that's because it's new. So we won't hear it until tonight.
I know, she was not the trick. I just want to play a little piece of something else. A little excerpt from The Nightingale and the Rose, which is your work as well, John.
Yes, yeah.
But just to give a flavour of, as the fellow said, of what John does, lads. That's really all I'm doing here. That's an excerpt from The Last Nightingale from John O'Brien and Aidan O'Donoghue. Kim Sheehan and Magella Cullough. Magella, I know you're in there somewhere. I know you're in there, Magella.
What, in The Nightingale? I was there, not that bit.
No, but you were there at the time. Listen, talk to me about the story of Morrigan. She's an Irish goddess. Is that the story?
Yeah, she's the goddess of... So it's death and fate and... So she's the kind of like our storyteller as well in this, and she's kind of like guides us through, and she's got this two actor musician percussionists as well, and who are kind of like tell the story for us, and the story that they tell is the story of Deirdre and the Sons of Usna, you know, or Deirdre of the Sorrows, and so and they're kind of guiding us through that, and I suppose it's all about. Well, there's two things. It's about the kind of the love story and the kind of tragic love story of all that, but it's also about the king, Conor MacNasa, who starts out as a really good king and then kind of power corrupts him and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so, and then it's what happens to the land and the people when power corrupts and when bad leadership and, you know, and you've got a big tragic, tragic love story, and then these epic battle scenes where they all fight it out, and you know,
right? And how have you dressed it for the stage? How is it dressed, John?
Well, it's been really fun with that. So Alison Cummins, who designed the set, and Stephen Dodd, who designed lighting, are kind of have this really kind of contemporary, kind of beautiful set, and this with the kind of the orchestra and the actor musicians and all that, and then kind of in that world, if that's the kind of the outer. Like we make a kind of a chalk circle at the beginning to tell a story in.
Yes.
And then within that, then Sinead Cuthbert, who's designed the costumes, has made these beautiful kind of like ancient costumes, and that fit into this like magic, epic, legendary kind of thing, you know.
It's set in the Bronze Age, and so there are those amazing costumes, like Viking texture and colour.
And so it's a mixture of the kind of those kind of things, and so because of the numbers of people, and actually, like, what's great is the Opera House stage in Cork is one of the biggest stages in the country. So we're using every foot of it, like right to the back, and you know, so to get a really great great sense of scale, you know.
And Magella, what character do you play in this?
My character is Lowercombe. Yeah. So I'm Deirdre's foster mother. So I appear with her first when she's a baby. Yeah. And of course they say that the crowd say that she's cursed and they should kill her. But I plead for her and the king saves her. And I'm entrusted to go off and rear her away from society. Then it quickly cuts to 15 years later when she's this young, stunningly beautiful girl, and we have this lovely relationship with John's written a gorgeous duet for us.
Well,
and,
gorgeous,
But then the king is out hunting and he sees her and he falls in love with her, and then he sends the sons of Usna to go and get her. But then when they come to collect her, she falls in love with one of them and he falls in love with her, and then madness ensues because they run off together and the king is angry, and it's like a Quentin Tarantino movie because everybody gets killed and their swords clashing and it's madness.
Don't tell me they all die in the end.
Oh my God, there's blood and gore everywhere.
I'm just, do you know what, I'm just thinking, like, as an opera singer, soprano at your level, and you've sung so many famous roles, is it very refreshing for you to be singing something that's brand new? In other words, no one can compare you with anybody. Do you know, is that a good thing? Is that a kind of a positive for you in an event like this?
Yeah, well, sometimes it's a good thing, and it happens to be a great thing at the moment. You do feel very, very privileged when you're actually singing the piece at the same time as the composer's written it. Do you know what I mean? I often think what those sopranos or those, you know, opera singers must have been like talking to Giacomo Puccini or somebody, saying, come here a second there. No, I'm not very happy with that line or with that. It does, whether it's misguided or not, you do feel that you are a part of the process in creating this thing. Yeah. And I mean, I'm an interpretive artist.
Right.
But so I have this tiny smidgen feeling of being creative as well when you're working, you know, in a new composition and the composer is there and you can talk to him about the way you feel about things.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that. And I'm thinking as well from John, your point of view, because you have been involved in so many projects over the years, you can't have an awful lot of fear really in you because you've worked in so many different productions for musical theatre and opera.
Yeah, like, I think the thing that allays my fear is the fact that it's a big team sport, so I don't feel alone in it. Like, so,
sure.
You know, myself and Nadine in the writing from the very beginning were, like, it was really collaborative from the very start. And then, so from Magella's point of view, she's talking about, you know, working with the composer. From my point of view, I wrote the part for Magella, so I had her voice in my head as I'm actually writing it. Or the same with Kim, who's singing Deirdre, or, you know, Julian or Joe or any of the, like, and so I'm kind of imagining the cast. And that goes the same even into the orchestra with people, you know, like Kieran Moynihan is the flute player that I hear in my head, or Anne-Marie on the harp is, like, you know, so it's like, it's not a blank page because a lot of the parts are already starting to fill, you know. So you know, it helps in that way as well.
And you've got Conor Palliser is involved as well.
Yeah, so Conor is conducting, and what was kind of great, even from very early on, just even being able to share the score and talk about things, and he was asking questions like, did you really mean that here, or how about that there, or making suggestions, and, like, you know, so it's very collaborative in that way, which is a great thing, you know?
I saw a piece that said that between your two houses there's a grotto. Do you live in a convent?
No.
What's that about?
That's really funny. It's a throwaway line that suddenly got picked up by the paper.
I just thought, and I went, what the heck?
So during the big lockdown, I was writing the orchestrations because you know, there was nothing else to do at
the time. Of course, I understand.
I was kind of sharing it with Conor, and so I would send him a copy of the score, and then we'd kind of meet to talk, but we had to be, you know, whatever, 2 metres, 3 metres apart,
of
whatever,
course.
Outside, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of just about halfway between our two houses in the city centre in Cork, there's a kind of, you know, there's a grotto there.
Grotto.
And so we were kind of sitting on either side, and, you know, every now and again we'd have to take a little break if somebody came along for a bit of a pray, you know?
In fairness, it's very Puccini. It's very Puccini. I think we're back in Lucca. That's just ridiculous. But it is a funny idea. Idea, but I think about how you had to put it together in lockdown. So so it is, as the fella said, it's an even bigger achievement. Now, you're on tonight, lads.
We're on tonight.
Mm-hmm. What time are you starting?
So it's an 8 o'clock show tonight, and then we're off tomorrow night because the cast did last night as well. So, you know, they need the rest, and then we're on Saturday and Sunday night.
Yeah, there are only 3 performances.
Is it 8 o'clock each night?
It's 8 o'clock each night,
And I have to ask the question, is it a long opera?
It's 2 acts. The first act is about 55 minutes, and the second act is about 45 minutes.
Oh, so, right, so no, it's not
And more than that, it's kind of like the whole point, even when we started to write it, was can we write something that is entertaining and moving and beautiful and fun, and to try and connect with an audience and, like, you know, tell a story and have a beautiful night at the theatre. And even when we were kind of conceiving then of the production itself, like coming out of COVID, we wanted something that would celebrate live music and live theatre and, like, all these people together and,
surely,
you know, an epic with feelings and all of that, you know. So that was actually the kind of motivation behind all of it, you know.
Of course. Now, in terms of all the work that you've done, here's John O'Brien in one corner, one side of the grotto. Here's Adrian O'Donoghue at the other side of the grotto. You've three nights. What's going to happen to it then? Because you can't have put all this effort in and all this work and all this talent together and then just let it be.
Well, that's the eternal kind of difficulty with it.
Yes,
I mean, on the positive, we're recording the production, and hopefully it'll be broadcast on Lyric. We're talking maybe the end of towards the end of the summer or into the early autumn. So people will, you know, get to hear it at that point, and then I suppose we try and look for some life on it and first to go in other places and all that. You know, it's tricky to know because opera is so big and therefore so expensive, and, you know, so it's not like this is easily tourable with, you know, the 60-odd performers.
No, it's not. Exactly. There's a lot of expense in this, and you've got to take it somewhere else. But that would be your hope and your...
You hope that you write a thing that will survive and be played in all sorts of other different types of productions, and that other people can take it on and make a version of it, and, you know, that it has a life.
That has a life, of course, because you put so much effort into the thing. Yeah. Michela, where are you off to after this? What's the next border call, do you know?
Well, I mean, COVID, of course, interfered with so many projects, and everything was cancelled. So, so that things are slowly reviving. I mean, I do a fair bit of teaching now in the Cork School of Music.
So I believe.
Yeah, I'm in the vocal department there.
Good.
But I will be appearing with Irish National Opera next year.
I'm not surprised.
Singing Despina and Così fan tutte with them.
Oh,
so
lovely.
So I'm looking forward. That'll be a bit of fun.
Good for you. Well, this is a chance to see you on stage.
Yeah.
And with a fine cast as well, because is it Mr. Morgan? Simon Morgan.
Simon Morgan is in there.
Who's
great.
Yeah.
Really fab.
My God, honestly, Marty, the cast, and the orchestra, the whole thing is just so incredible. And so this really does deserve a life after Cork Opera House.
Please go. Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, it has to have legs, even if Breagan herself, the Irish goddess of death and fate, may not be the one with them. But anyway, somebody will. Listen, thank you both for joining us this morning. God bless
you.
Thanks,
Marty.
Thanks so much.
I wish you the greatest success over the weekend, please God.
You're very good. Thanks a million.
God bless. Michela, we play a little bit of you to take us out on this one.
Sure, go on.
Look at it. You might get a pound out of it.
Yeah.
Scenes in our brightest, Maritani. This is Michela Cullen with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra. Thank you both. God bless you. Take care.
Bye, Marty.
Take care. Now, just a reminder again, it's Morrigan, music by John O'Brien, libretto by Adrian O'Donoghue. It's on tonight, tomorrow. Sorry, not tomorrow. It's on tonight, Saturday and Sunday, Friday and Saturday. No, today is Thursday, so it's on tonight, not tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. There you are, at the Cork Opera House with an 8 o'clock start.